welcome to chapter 60. Oh, no, 80. No, yeah, no, 83. Shit. Welcome to chapter 83 of Memoirs of a White Guy. That was a rough start. It was definitely not a good way to begin, but we're off. We're going now. Firstly, hope you guys had a good week. Was it good? Was it? I mean, you can't answer right now because you're consuming this. It's not live. So, all right. I'm taking it you may have had a good week. And if you had a bad week, I don't know. Suck it the fuck up, all right? You're listening to a damn good podcast now, so your week's instantly improved. So, yeah. I'm just going to come out straight and say it, okay? You guys might remember about a month or so ago, I was bragging about having a hot doc. I was like, oh man, this new doctor, my eye doctor, so I go to see an eye specialist because my eyes are fucked. And yeah, I went to this eye specialist, right, and he's talking to me, but all of a sudden, it just becomes a blur. I'm just looking at his face, I'm looking at his eyes, and I'm getting lost in them, and I'm like, oh, buddy, need a map to get out of these bad boys, right? So I'm completely lost in this doc's eyes, and he's a doc, he has a doctorate, I can see his buddy degree up in his wall. Man, you're an impressive man, right? So this was last time, that was about 6 weeks ago. Go listen to the podcast. I think the podcast that I talk about that on is called something about having a hot doc or something. I have a hot doctor. But yeah, so I went for my follow-up appointment, right? 3 months later or 2 months later. And guys, my doc's not hot. He's lost it. I don't know what happened. He's just not that he's not hot. He just like, back in the day, I mean, in his glory days 2 months ago, back in February, he had these blue eyes and he was wearing a suit and like, you know, and he had this British strong accent. And I was like, oh, this guy is everything, right? And I'm not, you know, I'm straight, right? I'm a heterosexual, but you know what I mean? You can only resist so much, okay? Because if you, you know what I mean? There's only so much as a man when you look at another man. Because like, you can, it's easy to be like, I respect that guy. Like Brad Pitt, respect. Right? It's easy to have that level of admiration for another man. But then sometimes a man walks into your life and you're like, hot damn, you ain't just a man, you're a hot doc. Right? But all of a sudden, 2 months later, I was rubbing my hands together. I was like, yes, follow-up appointment. Gonna be able to see the hot doc again. I was like thinking of proposing. I wasn't sure. I hadn't checked with Emily yet. I was like, okay, maybe today's not the right day. Probably I should probably go out for coffee first. All right, let's just chill out, Luke. Chill out. I brushed my teeth extra hard this morning. I wore my best t-shirt. You know, I'm not gonna dress up for him, but I will wear my best item from Cotton On, okay? Actually, I think I might have worn a JJ's number. Either way, I was wearing my best plain grey t-shirt, as I do. And I walked in very nervous, and my mum was with me, because I wanted him to meet my parents, obviously. Mum came along, and in the car on the way there, she's like, oh, is this the hot doc? Because obviously I told everyone about my new hot doc, and I was like, yes, this is the hot doc. So then mum started getting excited, but mum was excited for the wrong reasons. I was like, oh no, I don't want to be introducing my mum to a hot doc, because her and dad are very happily married, so I was a bit concerned there, but if she was going to go for him, then don't worry, I was going to pounce in there first. And all of a sudden, I just hear from across the waiting room, you know, my palms are a bit sweaty, mum's spaghetti, and he goes, that was the shittest joke. It wasn't even a joke, it was just the shittest Eminem reference I reckon I've ever made, but I'm not afraid to make another one. To take a stand, everybody, take my hand. All right, that's enough. So I'm in the waiting room, and he calls me over, and he goes, Luke? And I went, that's weird. That wasn't a British accent. And I turn around, and he's lost it. Not hot. He was wearing a blazer, not a suit. He grew a beard. He didn't even have an accent. Which I now realise he never had an accent. I think he's Canadian. I don't think I don't even know if he has an accent. I think he just talks funny. But in February when I last went, I was so caught up in this hot doc that I think I made up in my head as he was talking to me. I'm like, this is a British accent. This is what love sounds like to me. No accent, guys. And now he calls me in and Mum was like confused. Mum was like, wait, is that the guy? And I was like, yeah, but he's changed. And now Mum's just like, yeah, I don't know what you were talking about there with the hot dog. He wasn't that much of a hot dog. But anyway, so that was the story of the hot dog. He's not so hot anymore. But man, I hope he doesn't listen to this. I'm not going to tell anyone where I go. It's actually, you know, it's not near my house, so it's kind of good. I feel like he'll never hear this, but not that I care if he knows that I used to think he's attractive, but attractive's the wrong word, okay? I kind of jokingly built this up in my head. I thought it was funny on a podcast to call him attractive, but I would hate for him to hear that I thought he'd lost it, because I'm sure he would have been like, oh, that's weird but nice. And then now, me just talking shit about him, he'd be like, right, I'm going to fuck his surgery. Because, yeah, I'm getting eye surgery now from the Not Hot Doc. I should release a parody song of Man's Not Hot called Doc's Not Hot. 2 + 2 = 4. Not hot, or whatever, quick maths, or whatever he says. Right, so yeah, anyway, I'm getting eye surgery. That sucks. I'm getting it at the end of this month. So I don't know if there'll be a podcast that week. We'll work it out. There should be. So what happens is it's called cross-linking. And it's like, it's bullshit. I was talking about this last time. It's a new surgery. It's only about 10 years old. So there's only like a 90% chance of like success rate. And that's not high enough. 1 in 10, or maybe it was 95, which is 1 in 20. But either way, I want it to be 99.99. I want the same success rate on eye surgery as a condom, okay? I want 99.99%. You know, though, like, you buy those, like, the squirters, like Windex or whatever, or, like, germ removers, like, antibacterial sprays, and you're like, psst, psst, and it says, like, bam, and the dirt is gone. And it's 99.99%. Kills like most germs. And they only have to put that because just in case someone sues them if they, you know what I mean? If they didn't kill a germ, right? But it pretty much kills all germs. That's the same success rate that I want if someone's going to be in there working on my eyeball, okay? I don't want to hear 95%. I don't want to hear anything with the word 5 in it. Not even 99.95%. Don't want to hear it. Give me 100, baby. All right? Give me some reassurance that shit isn't going to make me blind. I think that's reasonable. I enjoy seeing. I see shit every day. Right now, I'm looking out on my street, and it's great. There's trees blowing in the wind. There's bloody, before a tractor drove past. I mean, it's really hard to defend that you don't live in the country when when a tractor just chugs past your house, but I will never be able to see that. I'll have to just experience that with my ears. And I think I'm going deaf anyway. So my hearing's going. My vision's going to go Dude, what about if the 5% chance just doesn't pay off and I'm just blind? So it turns out that I have a steep eye, right? So the thing that's wrong with my eye is my cornea is like, instead of it being like rounded and arched, it's like pushed out and it looks like a bike jump, but not really, like a really, anyway, apparently it's a steep eye. Apparently you can snowboard down my retina, which is great. So yeah, I'm getting my eye flattened out. I don't know how they do it. I think they might just get, they put like eye drops in and you gotta like look at ultraviolet light. Oh, and this is the most fucked part. I have to be awake during the eye surgery. They can't like put me on anesthetic or anything. They just numb my eye. And I'm conscious the whole time. Dude, I'm having like full anxiety about it. I can't even touch my own eyeball. I'm one of those people. I'm like, nah, get out of there, alright? I don't even like being tickled. I hate when people touch me. I hate it. Like, I don't mind, you know, a bit, just don't, you know what I mean? I don't mind like normal touching, but if someone like, I don't know, like slowly just, I don't like it. All right, so I want to be asleep. I want to be unconscious. Okay, I'm thinking of just popping a roofie before I go in there and just knocking myself out. But the reason why you can't, the reason why you can't like be asleep for it is because your eye will just roll into the back of your head if you're like knocked out. So your eye has to remain thingo, and they had this little like rod that goes between your eye socket and then your lower eye, and it just keeps it open. It's like eye scaffolding, and then it just forces your eye open. You can't blink, but I can't feel it. Oh, it's going to be the worst. So, yeah, that's happening, and then I have to like have a week off doing shit, which is bullshit because I'm busy and I've got things to do. I've got shows to sell out, okay? I don't have time to have a week off, but no. Had to book in eye surgery so I could see properly because apparently that's more important than comedy. Whatever. All right. Go fuck it. Yeah, okay. Anyway, my doc's not hot. Bad news. Just a real bad news. What a shit way to start the podcast. Me just complaining. Oh, wait. That's every podcast. What I want to talk about next is obviously sad news. Avicii died. But exciting news, brand new segment on the podcast, Coroner Kigel. That's right. Your boy Luke thinks, I've realized, I didn't think this, no one goes out of their way to think this, but I realized that I am great at, pronouncing the cause of death without doing any research whatsoever, okay? And that's why this is now another episode of Coroner Kigel. So, Avicii died. Super sad news. He's a great music producer. Love his songs. Never had the chance to see him live. My brother went once. I just probably couldn't be bothered to give him $80 just to press the play button. But hey, I like his music. It's good shit. Unfortunately, he passed away really young, like 28, which is horrible. And me and Emily, my girlfriend, we started having, like, not an argument, but just, like, a heated discussion about the cause of his death. I was like, oh, no, it's probably drugs or suicide. Like, that's what I was saying. I was definitely, like, he's 28. That's just the most likely thing. And then she goes, no, well, you don't know that. He had a medical condition. He had these things wrong. You know, he took time off DJing because of his medical condition. And I was like, he's a DJ. It's drugs, okay? This guy goes out to nightclubs every night. She's like, how do you know he takes drugs? And boom, this is where Coroner Kigel stepped into play. I don't know what coroners wear, but I like to imagine they wear like big trench coats. They walk in with like a fedora on and like smoking a pipe. Like, and then I just walk down and I see his body. He apparently died in a farmhouse. So I'm like, you know, there's like cows and... They weren't even farm noises, whatever. There was chickens, that was a chicken noise. Right, there's farm animals everywhere, and I'm walking into the farmhouse, and there's Avicii's there, and I'm like, fuck, what happened? I wouldn't even have to look at the body to know. Here's why. Mike Posner's song, I Took a Pill in Ibiza. First verse, or maybe second verse, I don't know. There's a line that says, I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. Boom. He thinks it's cool to take drugs. Boom. Coroner Kigel, case closed. And that was my whole argument. We argued about this for like 10 minutes once. We were out in public. We're at a burger joint. And all these, like, there's kids around us. And I'm like, nah, he's a drug addict. He's probably not a drug addict. But I'm like, it was definitely drugs. I know he had a medical condition, but it was drugs or suicide. He was probably depressed because of the drugs. And then, I still don't know, I haven't done any research, right? And it's super sad that he died, but all I'm saying is, someone proved me wrong. I think now, I actually read before that they haven't officially released it, but their family has hinted suicide, which is horrible, obviously, and, you know, obviously, sending respects and stuff to the family, but also, I'm right. That's great. That's the main thing, is I'm right, okay? Surely you guys agree with me. I don't have to have anyone agree with me. I'm Coroner Kigel, alright? I pronounce deaths, I do what I like, alright? I think that's going to be a great new segment. Every celebrity death. I won't read a news article. I will just prescribe the reason. I will just tell you guys the cause of death, alright? Just I'll vibe it out. All right. What's next on my little list? I've got so many ideas today. Like, oh, not many, not ideas. I just have so much shit to tell you guys about. I just want to pump it out. And also, I've got to go to the get a haircut in like 30 minutes. So, all right. Bachelor in Paradise finale. Boy, oh boy. Oh, wait. I'll save this till the end. Okay, because I'll save it to the end just because the spoilers and some people might have watched it. I mean, it's been all over Facebook, but just in case. All right, what was the next thing? Bathing in tea. Oh, yeah. You may have heard this on the radio show, but I'll briefly talk about it. I bathed in tea. Experimental bathing has become a real strong part of my life. I've done mud bathing in the past, but yeah, me and Emily, we went to the Mornington Peninsula, the hot springs, right? We had a couple of days off because we were both knackered after the comedy festival. And yeah, we went out there. We went and had a great couple of nights away together, which we haven't done in ages. So that was very fun. And yeah, we went to this, like, obviously the hot springs, which we've been to before, but went to this private bath place in the hot springs, right? And it's like, if you've never been to a hot springs place, it's just, it's like hot baths, public hot baths, essentially. It's pretty gross, actually. But yeah, anyway, I went to this private bit because we're fancy. Nah, Emily had a voucher. All right, we're not paying for that shit. And we had a choice between a mud bath, which we've done in Fiji. I did like natural mudding or whatever it's called, which was weird because I just felt like I was swimming in poo. Lewis just reminded me the other day when we were talking about this that I could have just swam in shit. You know how people piss in pools and you can get away with it because piss looks like water? Well, you could just drop a number 2 or a number 3. There's probably diarrhea in there as well, and no one would know. I should have done it. I should have gone in there and just dropped a deuce, and no one would have done it. What a liberating feeling that would be, shitting in a pool. I mean, because usually, like, I remember once I was, as a kid, I was doing swimming lessons, and there was like an alarm that went off and it was turd in the pool, and that to fish it out with a net. And then the kid who did the turd, he got shamed in front of everyone. So whilst it would have been liberating for him to sneak out a poop, the shame involved in the dressing rooms for the next 3 years, not worth it. But if you do it in like a mud pool, there's no shame in that. I mean, there's personal shame in that. There's no public shame in that. Because if someone finds a poo, you go, prove it. Prove it was my poo. All right? And other than DNA testing, they can't pin you to that poo. So, yeah, I realized I probably swam in shit before, but that's okay. I mean, it was a while ago now. I've had a lot of showers since, and I'm just trying to just move on mentally. But anyway, so we had a choice between mud bathing, a lavender milk bath, or a tea bath. And I didn't really get a choice. Emily chose the tea bath. I probably would have gone lavender milk just because I wanted to see if it was actual milk. Imagine just like, I don't know, bathing in milk. That'd be yuck. But also, I want to do it for the meme, you know. So many good milk jokes. You could be like, move over, and then because cows make milk. And it's that kind of comedy, you know, that I need to inspire me for next year's show. I mean, I'm hoping the show is going to be better than that, but I'm not going to make any promises, you know. That would be a significant step down from the quality of this year's show if next year's show was just animal puns, but I don't know where I'm going to be creatively next year. Who knows? So, yeah, we end up going with tea, and the strangest part was when we get in there, the guy's like, now, this is the tea bath, there's water on the side, and also complimentary tea for you to drink. And I thought he just meant the bath. And I was like, I'm not drinking. And he goes, no, in the kettle over there. I was like, oh, great, cool. So, I'm not a kettle, whatever it's called. Thermos, I don't know. The tea thing. I don't drink tea, right? But then I felt weird. I stooped down into the tea and I'm bathing up to here, up to my neck in tea. And then I just was like, if I drink the tea right now, not the tea that I'm in, but just the tea in the little cup next to me, is that cannibalistic? And then I was like, is that incestuous? And then I was like, no, it's not cannibalistic or incestuous. Google the definition of those words, you dickhead. And then I also realized, like, I was like, this is weird though. I just felt uncomfortable bathing in something that I'm also consuming. And then I realized, we do that shit every day. Water every day. Bathe in it, drink it, brush my teeth with it. Not in it. I don't brush my teeth in water. I brushed my teeth in the shower before, so yeah. Dude. Yeah, we do that shit every day. And I don't know why I had such a problem with it, but I was like, oh, I'm not drinking something I'm sitting in. Anyway, so that was, I'm an idiot, was the moral of that story. But yeah, that was weird. It wasn't sticky either. I thought it would be sticky. I don't know why. I don't really drink tea, so I didn't know. I thought tea was sticky. And Emily's like, it's not coffee, dickhead. And I was like, yeah, well, good point. So, yeah, that was weird. What else did we do down there? We went to, like, this maze place for children. And you guys might have seen on my Instagram that I kind of delved into the world of panda modeling this week, which was pretty cool. Took some pics next to some pandas and started the hashtag PandaPics. It really took off. It was one night of just me connecting with wildlife, connecting with my inner love for bamboo and the creatures who predominantly eat them. And yeah, that was great. So go check out my Instagram if you want to see those panda pics. It was a great weekend. To be honest, though, it was a great weekend away because I don't think I'd done nothing. Well, obviously, that's the thing. I still bought my laptop and still did some work because I'm a freak. But I don't think I've stopped since... Fuck, I didn't stop after last year's tour. That was the problem. I don't know, since I guess I started comedy. So it was good. It was good to just have 2 days off, which was great. And then this weekend, the tour continues to Adelaide and Perth, so I'm keen. Alright, I have to do... So last week, you guys might remember, I did a review on a guy's uni assignment that he did of me. The guy's name was Nick, and he said it was a draft assignment, and go listen to that first if you haven't already checked that out. It was on last week's podcast. He did a review on my VCal video and just me at the comedy festival, right? But this was before he even came to my show, and he just wrote up some video, and I trashed it last week, right? It was good shit. And then he was like, nah, man, it was just a draft, don't worry. And then he sent me the full finished version of the assignment this week, and he just scrapped it all. It's completely different. And I was like, hey, man, can I do another review? And he's like, yep, go for it. And not even joking here, so Nick ended up coming to my show, and he wrote a review on the show. No review by any Herald Sun reviewer, Beat Magazine, whatever the fuck, will ever be able to explain what it is truly like to come to a Luke Kidgell comedy show better than this, okay? This is honestly, if you've never been to one of my shows before and you always hear me talk about it and you wonder what it's like to be a fan in the audience, well, this is what it's like, okay? It's titled Comedy, Shackers, Savoys, Social Media, and More. Boom! Already, you're thinking, oh, fuck, that's a Luke Kidgell show. I mean, he's popping shackers, everyone's munching on Savoys, they're there from social media, and he does a bit of comedy. Boom! He's nailed it. Last week, I was hard on you, Nick, alright? I think I gave you a 4 out of 10 out of sympathy, okay? But I wanted to give you a 0.4 out of 10. But this week, boom, you're sailing at a high 11 right now, okay? He's even dated it at the top. He took my advice of adding a fake sauce. Last week, I told him he was just making up shit in his assignment, obviously, because that's what you do in uni. You make up shit. And I was calling him out for it. I was like, dude, this isn't true. You've done no research. At least add a fake sauce. And he's literally racked a photo from my Instagram and then credited the source to Lewis Spears' Snapchat. It's from my Instagram, man. But you know what? It's great, because it's a fake source, all right? And your lecturer will never know. Except that the fact that the photo looks way too high quality for like a Snapchat picture. But anyway, it starts off. The world-renowned... he does it like a bit about the comedy festival. And where it's located and stuff. He said, my venue was located at the seedy end of town, next to a brothel, kebab shop, and a bar. That's not wrong. It was near King Street. So, located up the rainbow-lit neon stairs was a woman behind a small desk with the curtains open to a room full of smoke. This so far sounds like the shittest event ever, and fuck, he's not wrong. Okay. You know what? My venue, I think, may used all the... definitely the place next door is a brothel. And there is a kebab shop downstairs and a bar. So, yeah, I mean, look, you got to start off in shitholes, okay? Next year, I'm hoping to do, like, a small theatre. I mean, this was like a burlesque vaudeville theatre. But next time, I want to do a small, proper theatre. But hey, you got to eat shit. Dude, last year, I was in an Irish pub. Like, the top room of an Irish pub where they made a temporary stage. So, I feel like burlesque theatre was a step up. Alright, after waiting outside, so this is where the assignment and his piece and his review really starts hitting his stride. After waiting outside, I entered the still half smoke filled venue and sat close to the side of the stage. The song Good Night by Reese Maston flooded the room after everyone had gathered their seats. I think you meant, so the first part of the sentence, bang on, good night. Was playing before the show, obviously, because I wanted people to have a good night. Whoa. But people didn't have to gather their seats. You don't have to collect your seat on the way into my show, okay? Like, go. Tickets, please. All right, sir. And here is your seat. No. I think you meant to say after everyone had taken their seats, but that's all right. This song plays every Fist Bump Friday on the Luke and Lewis radio show with Lewis Spears on Triple M Modern Digital. That it does. The song, along with several ongoing inside jokes of Luke Kidgel, such as Savoy Boys and Poppin' Shackers, helped. I'm getting a call from my mum right now. I'm gonna take it. Sorry, I had to cut the podcast then. My mum called me. That's pretty rockstar shit. anyway, what was I talking about? Right. Something about Poppin' Shackers helped. Anyway, so he's talking about the fresh memes, right? And boom, that's the way I want to start any show. Dude, I was starting to think, I went to heaps of comedy shows throughout the festival. I probably saw about, you know, over 10 shows. And none of them started the shows by playing Goodnight by Reese Maston just while people were seating. And I thought that was fucking bizarre. I just thought that was so off. I was like, these people don't get it. Right, so I'm the only one doing it, alright? I'm the only one at the forefront of creating an environment in which people want to have a good night with. I mean, you can't have a good night after any other song. So, yeah, I mean, I choose to put that in my pre-show playlist just for the benefit of me, because on stage, the crowd, and really anyone who's ever heard music before. So, and then... I scroll down further in the assignment. So this is like a LinkedIn page, right? I'm showing it on the video. If you want to watch the podcast now, it's up on the channel. Oh, by the way, last week the there was no video podcast. Sorry, I stuffed it up. That's pretty much, I don't want to get into it, but yeah, I stuffed it up. I exported it without audio, uploaded it, and then realized it didn't have audio, and then it was too much to do it again. So yeah, there was no video podcast last week, but this week there will be. Alright, so he's included in the next bit of the assignment just a picture from not him, but another fan on Twitter. He's just screenshotted someone's tweet again from Ashley, and Ashley's tweet, Ashley Rook's tweet is just in this in his assignment. I don't think he messaged Ashley for permission, and it's just a picture of me, Poppin' Shackers, with two other people who came to the show. And I don't think you asked Ashley if you could post that, man. But anyway, just so Ashley knows, I think she might listen to the podcast as well, maybe. Ashley, if you're listening, you're in some guy's uni assignment. I hope you don't mind. Not my fault, he's. And then he's put a source again, and he's just put twitter.com. So, or you could put Ashley intellectual property, which she owns, but anyway. And he did a bit about Joseph being on stage, because Joseph Green opened for all my shows. And then he said, finally, the main act, Mr. Luke Kidgel himself. A living meme. Fuck my life. But you know, here's the thing. I laugh and I'm like, no, fuck you, man. I'm a comedian. He is not wrong. This is the most accurate description of me ever. Okay, so it says, the main act, Mr. Luke Kidgel himself, a living meme, a radio personality, and stand-up comedian, appeared from the dimly lit bar. A living meme. Dude, that's so funny. Like, because he's so right. Like, some nights there was 40 people just snacking on Savoy's, and I'm like, what have I started? Like, what? Like, really? Because I advertise, like, comedy show, and it is. It's a stand-up comedy show. It's 50 minutes in Melbourne and then an hour everywhere else of stand-up comedy, right? That's what it is. And yet, when you go there, you're like, oh, that's not all it is. Like the actual show is an hour of stand-up comedy, great. But the night is like a night of memes, and then like we take a break from memes to watch the show, and then it goes back to memes after the show. Goes back to me signing boxes of Savoy's and writing my name Jeff on everyone's posters. Oh, and you know what? It's the best job in the world, and I would never, never want to do anything different with my life. So thank you, Nick. I'm gonna put that on my poster next year. A living meme, radio personality, and stand-up comedian. He walks past the people and down to the stage as he begins telling the self-deprecating jokes of being a basic white guy. So yep, you've pretty much just summed up my show there. Well, he summed up the first 30 seconds. You know what's funny? So usually like you appear from backstage, like when you walk on stage, you come out from on the stage. But in the venue I did in Melbourne, there's no backstage. There's just a curtain at the back, but behind that's a wall. So unless you want to like suck up like and go flat with the wall for 10 minutes or 20 minutes sometimes, where everyone gets seated and then Joseph performs his opening act. Otherwise, like unless you want to do that, that's the only way you can come out from behind the stage. So every night, there was like a backstage area. Like, I had my own dressing room and stuff at the top of the venue. But in order to get to the stage, I had to like walk through the back of the crowd and down the aisle. So it was like there's like an awkward 5, 10 seconds every night where everyone's like cheering. It's like, welcome to the stage, Luke Kidgel, and everyone's like, woo! And then everyone's like, where the fuck is he? And then I just come like walk past them, and they're like, oh, there he is, walking down the row. This is like not making my show sound cool, but it is the most accurate description I've ever heard. Here's the thing, because Melbourne shows like, because I do like 12, I mean, just the last 2 years, I can't do 12 of the fucking Palais, you know what I mean? 3,000 people. So I have to do, even though over 1,000 people came over 12 nights, every night is like a shitty fucking burlesque bar. But hopefully next year I'm really stepping it up a notch. And you know what? I don't want to start off in good venues, because where do you go from there? You know what I mean? Like, and I respect the people who come out to the shithole venue. The people who came out to that little Irish pub in North Melbourne. The first year, I couldn't even get a room to do my show in the city. Had to do my show in North Melbourne. All right? But that's what you got to do. You got to eat shit. And then this year I got one in the CBD, but still wasn't anywhere near the main bit of the festival. I did it down the other end because I couldn't find any rooms near there. And you know, the only way you can find rooms near the town hall is if it's festival managed, which means there's extra fees. You got to go through Ticketek and all this shit. And yeah, so the only way I can keep doing independent sometimes, at least at the very start of my career, is by doing shitholes. So, hopefully next year that won't be the case. I've already started looking at venues for next year. Literally the day after my show finished, the planning for next year began. Like, it's just, people don't realize that. Like, you have to book it almost a year out, or otherwise you're not going to get the venue you want. So, yeah, next year I'm really going to try and step it up, do something bigger, maybe less shows, bigger room, or bigger room, more shows. Who knows? But, yeah, I kind of liked it. Like, I want to read this back in 3 years, you know, like he appeared from the dimly lit bar and there was a brothel next to it and a kebab shop, and I want to be like, fuck, I've come a long way. You know what I mean? So that's very cool. So thank you very much. So it still keeps on going, right? Where are we up to? Okay. He tells self-deprecating jokes of being a basic white guy. It was a night of laughs with jokes relatable to millennials and fantastic improvised crowd work. This led to his joke of his, I don't want to read this bit because it spoils a bit of the show. So he says, this led to his joke about, and he tells a bit of a joke I did. The humor Luke Kidgel displayed is ironic and sarcastic material with a chill attitude. I don't know if it's sarcastic. Everything I said was fucking spot on, mate. The atmosphere was electric as he demolished through several funny anecdotes with dealing with angry VCal kids online to everyday life. Yeah, well, dude, that is all very kind words. So thank you very much, Nick. I'm really glad you enjoyed the show. I do have a bit of my show where I talk about the response of my VCal video going super viral and the hate I got from that from some people. So yeah, if you come to the show, I won't spoil it. But yeah, it's been super fun this year's show because everything that I talk about is true. People always ask me if the first bit of my show is true. I do this opening bit where people who have seen the show will know I get accused of something by a family member of mine, and people always ask me, is that true? And yes, it is true. And so everything in my show this year, as I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, is honest. And that's something I'm super proud of this year. And then he's just copy-pasted another tweet from someone else, and then he's just credited Twitter again, even though the guy who made Twitter didn't write that tweet. This show was so funny. I don't want to spoil too much of the show. He goes into a lot of detail. Okay, this is my favorite bit. This is where his assignment really gets going. After the show was a meet and greet where many had bought their Savoys. I was the first in line to meet the legend himself, Luke, and also his girlfriend Emily, who took a photo of us. So you're not lying enough to meet Emily. Fuck off, alright? No one's like, hey Emily, can we grab a photo? Now that I've said that, people will, alright? But you wouldn't have. I just want to let you know that if I hadn't have said that then, you wouldn't have been interested, okay? Anyway, so the photo was taken, and then he put the photo in of me and Nick standing there. The photo was taken the exact moment I made the popular Vine reference quote from the movie 22 Jump Street. My name is Jeff. And the photo is me just losing my shit, laughing, And then Nick just also kind of going, fuck, I regret saying that. Overall, it was the most enjoyable stand-up show I've ever been to. If you're in Adelaide, Perth, Newcastle, Canberra, or Brisbane, I highly recommend you go to his show for a wicked night. I'm also doing Sydney, man, so again, do your research. But yeah, so that's such a better article than the one we went through last week by so much. There was only like 5 spelling mistakes. And you know what I mean? You credited fake sources. Tick. All right? You pulled a little bit of shit out of your ass to build up the word count, but you also didn't milk it. And I like that. It was honest. It was a proper description of my show. And I think anyone who just heard me read that or anyone who's read it would be like, oh, now I know what it's like to come to the bloody Savoy Shackers guy's show. So everyone now knows what it's like to see a living meme in the flesh. And so yeah, if you think that sounds like a wicked night, as he said, bloody get your tickets, right? Adelaide and Perth this weekend. Perth sold out, by the way. Holy shit, yes. So the way I do my career, and it's in particularly the tour each year, is I try and get bigger and bigger venues every single year. In Adelaide and Perth, I didn't completely sell them out last year, so I just was like, nope, I'm going to book the same venue again, and this year I'm going to sell it out. And this year, Perth is sold out, and Adelaide, hopefully I'm going to try and do the same. Adelaide, please come. I'd love to bloody fill that room. It's a pretty big room, so it'd be awesome to have you there. That's the way I do my shit. So next year, now I'm going to book a bigger venue in Perth, because I've sold that one out now. Now I move on. So, for example, Sydney last year, I did 100 seats, sold it out 2 weeks before. I couldn't add another show, unfortunately. And then this year I've booked a 300 seater, right? Way too big, but I'm really hoping, and it's already like over half full. There's only like 100 seats left or some shit. So that's super cool. That's still 2 months away. So Sydney, get on that shit. So yeah, that's pretty much the way I do all my tours. So I sold out Perth now. There's going to be no extra show. I'm sorry if you missed out, but I did say, I think about 20 times, make sure you book that shit because it's going to sell out. And people are like, yeah, cool, bro. You say that every year. No, I say that every year because it sells out every year. Okay, except for last year. Perth didn't quite sell out. But yeah, so that's how I do it. So Melbourne last year, I sold out a bunch of shows in a 60-seater. This year, I moved up to a 100-seater, sold out 9 out of 12 shows. Next year, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Might do a 200-seater, might do a 150-seater. I need to work out where I'm at. So yeah, that's pretty much the way I do my shit. So if you want to, I also, this is like a 5-10 year plan that I kind of want you guys hopefully to be on board for. I mean, that's all I can ask for as a performer is if I keep working hard and putting out good shit, hopefully then you guys will keep wanting to support me. So in the end, I want to be doing theaters like Athenaeum, the huge, I want to be doing over a thousand seats in, you know, a night in places and doing multiple nights. You know what I mean? Eventually, I want to be doing arenas kind of thing. But I listened to a super interesting Kevin Hart podcast where he talks about he used to go around to every single comedy club and his management was like, you need to do theaters, you need to do theaters. He's like, no, I'm not ready. And he's like, instead, he went to every single comedy club and did 12 nights in a row, sold out 12 nights in a row in every single state. Right, he toured for his one show for like 2 years because he just toured for 2 years straight doing 12 nights in like a 250-seater or a little 100-seater or wherever the fuck until he knew that in every single state he could sell double whatever the theater he was. So then when he booked a theater tour, he sold out every single night in like a week. And that's kind of what I want to do. It's not about, like some people just go like, all right, I sold 100 seats, next year I'm going to do 1,000. Like, you dickhead, right? I'm all about the slow burn, long-term game. So, for example, Brisbane. I sold out the show. I didn't know if I'd sell it out. I booked a 100-seater. Boom, sold it out. Now I've added a new show. That's already, like, half sold now. So, you know what I mean? I just want to keep selling out shows, hopefully adding them. The next year in Brisbane, boom, I can book a 300-seater just from the start. And then I maybe sell that. So that's, anyway, this is boring for non-comedy nerds. But I don't know why I started talking about that. Anyway, I find that shit interesting. No one else does. Anyway, so that's kind of the plan. So thank you so much to everyone. Oh, what else? I was just telling you guys to buy tickets. And now I've bored the fuck out of you with the business side of it. So that's how it went for, what was about? Yeah, and that's how it's going for Newcastle. So I'm doing the same room that I did last year in Newcastle. Last year, I only half sold it. This year, I want to sell it out. The next year, going to move to a bigger venue there. So, yeah, that's the plan. Hope you guys are on board with that. I'd love to see you guys keep coming at the shows. And yeah, can't wait to start again. Adelaide and Perth this weekend. All right, now I've got a question. And this is also kind of in the same vein. I don't usually read this stuff just because I feel like I'm jerking myself off on the podcast. Like, say if someone sends me a nice email or whatever without a question in it, so I like your stuff, whatever. I don't read that shit on the podcast, but just because, I don't know, this person's taking time out of their day to send something nice, and that's just a nice thing that I can share with that person. But this one was a very, very nice message sent to me via Vanessa, and the only reason I'm reading it is because she asked some questions that I think would be interesting to answer on the podcast. Not very funny, but I think it might be interesting because clearly Vanessa was interested. So she said, "Hey Luke, you are amazing." And so already, I just feel like I'm wanking my dick off. Like, yeah, guys, look how amazing Vanessa thinks I am. You asshole. Anyway, "Hey Luke, you're amazing. I don't mean just your comedy, but your work ethic, dedication, love for your fans, and of course your jokes too. Thank you very much, Vanessa. That's very kind. I was watching your Instagram story one day and couldn't believe how many things you do in a single day. In this particular day, you were filming a video in the morning, and then you did a podcast, then you went to the radio station, and you did your radio show in the evening, and after that, I was shocked to see you were at a comedy show performing. My question is, how do you do it? I worked out that you produce over 4 hours of great content every week, not to mention performing slash running your own business and social medias. Man, Vanessa's done her research here. She's actually thought about this. Who would have thought? Usually, the emails that I filter through every single week for this podcast, very little thought has been put into them. But this is very refreshing. so thank you very much, Vanessa. You're very kind, and I guess it's cool that the work ethic isn't going unnoticed. I guess you do an average of Look, she's even broken down where I do my content. You do an average of 2.5 hours of radio content a week, a one-hour podcast, and usually videos on YouTube, your radio page, or stand-up. Also touring and posting most days on social media. What are your time management skills like, and how does it go about working as... that doesn't make sense, Vanessa. What is your time management skills like, and how do you go about working as much as you do without going insane? You are a huge inspiration to me. I want to be a dancer, and your work ethic makes me want to work harder to achieve my goals. Sorry, I know this is long, but also one more question for the podcast. Could you go through and explain all the things you do behind the scenes for a week in the life of Luke? I know you did a day in the life video as a joke on your channel recently, but it got me thinking, what is an actual day in the life for you? I'd love to know what else you get up to. Thanks, Vanessa. Firstly, honestly, thank you, Vanessa. That is very, very nice. And that's reading that shit, makes me think that I'm doing something right. And that's awesome to hear. I guess there's a few questions in there. My question is, how do you do it? The first one, how do I do so much shit in a day? I don't know, man. I don't sleep much. I just love it. I know I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll try and give a bit of a different answer this time, but today I've been flat out all day, and now is like the break, you know what I mean? This is the shit that I enjoy. I enjoy doing the podcast because it's performing. Like, I'm talking shit, I'm having fun right now. So this is like when I'm like, oh, now I'll take a break and do the podcast. Even though that's technically work, for me, if you get to a point where what you do you love so much that it seems like that's having a break, like if I've been working flat out with answering emails, just boring shit, like on phone to venues, ordering new merch, working on merch designs, working on poster designs, getting venues sorted for next year, blah, 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 just admin shit, because I'm still independent, which I guess I don't really talk about it that much. I don't have a manager or anything. I do everything myself. So, and also because I've sold like double the amount of tickets I sold last year, it's also double the amount of workload. So, which means I've been spending twice as much time doing all the boring shit this year, which is fine. It's just a thing that I guess, I don't know. It's a thing that I have to do. So I guess if you get to the point where you love doing like this stuff, the performing on stage, the blah blah blah, like you can work 7 hours straight of boring admin shit because the whole day you're like, yes, I get to do the podcast now. And usually back in the day I would have been like, oh, gotta do the podcast now, like that would be the one thing of work I had to do all day. But I guess I've started a work ethic that's so like bullshit stupid that now I'm like, that's the fun part of my day. I don't know. I've grown to love it, and now I wouldn't know what to do. I can't really sit on a couch and be like content with just sitting there and watching TV shows. Like the only time I ever watch TV shows is with Emily, because I enjoy spending time with my girlfriend. Right. So that's the only time I ever actually watch shit. And The Bachelor of Paradise, I watch when I'm eating and stuff. Like, that's the only other time I stop, is when I have to stop to eat. And usually I just, like, wait till I'm starving, and then I eventually stop. But, Yeah, so that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but what was the second one? What are your time management skills like, and how does it go? How do you go working as much without you going insane? I feel like that is insane. I feel like I never thought about it like that. Like I produce 4 hours of great content every week, but like, and that doesn't even sound like much because a week's so many hours. But I guess like, I don't know. I guess that is a lot of content a week, but and a lot of thought and effort goes into that content. So especially the radio show. So I don't know. I guess you said how does it go without going insane? I am insane. Look at me. I'm having a breakdown right now. You've pointed out to me that I'm a lunatic. So thank you very much for that. What are your time management skills like? Again, I write lists. That's how I do it. For example, today it's 4 p.m. and I'm only just halfway through my list. So I'll probably work till about, this makes me sad talking about it, but about 1 a.m. tonight to finish off everything, and then tomorrow I do it all again. So, yeah, I guess I just make a list. Like this morning, for example, okay, this is a day in the life. You wanted to know the day in the life? This is what I did today. And it's not interesting, which is why I usually don't talk about this shit. I didn't think people would want to hear about this shit, but for just once, I'll go through exactly what I did this morning, and it will bore the fuck out of everyone. And you'll be like, that's why he never speaks about it. I woke up. Straight away, I had breakfast and I watched the final the second half of the final episode of Bachelor in Paradise so I could talk about it on today's podcast. Then I went to my bedroom. I edited a video that me and Lachlan Fairbairn started filming like 3 weeks ago because I didn't get a chance to get around to it till now. Then I had to do a bunch of stuff with like sorting out shit in my computer. I had all this footage because I had 12 nights of stand-up footage. Because I spent like 3 days last week putting that stand-up compilation together, because I had to go through over 12 hours of footage to get the best like 3 minutes of footage, so that was a pain in the ass. And then yeah, so I got that off my computer, allowed space for me to import the new video. That honestly took like 45 minutes. It was a pain in the ass. Then I edited for about an hour maybe, and then I started writing a new video, which I'm hoping will drop this week. I'm not gonna make any promises. It's on like a viral thing at the moment or whatever. So I started doing a lot of research for that. And the way I usually work with like a trending trash or a music review is, music reviews are easier because it's just watching the film clip. But often you'll notice I go into the person's life before or after they've released the music video, and that's usually about an hour of research just to write like four banger jokes about what this person used to do. Just 'cause I watch a bunch of interviews, find them fucking up, find whatever the funniest part in this for me is, and then I'll download the video, then write a joke about it. So that already, I'm probably already at like almost midday, right? Because I slept in this way. I slept until like 9:30, which isn't that much of a sleep in, but anyway, I was super tired because I went to bed at 2:30 last night. Again, this is boring as fuck, Vanessa. I don't know why you wanted me to go through this shit, but fuck it. We're halfway through. And then I went and posted some merch. Boring. And then I went and, what else did I do? Fucking hell. I've done so much shit. I started Facebook ads for Newcastle. Updated the Facebook ad for Adelaide. Organized for Lachlan Fairbairn to open my Adelaide show this weekend. So my boy from Fairbairn Films, if familiar, he did his first ever stand-up set on Monday. And I was like, man, I'd love to have you on my show, and I can't wait. Anyone who he's one of my good mates, and anyone who's willing to give it a go like that, and he was totally up for it. I respect the balls of. And usually I wouldn't get anyone to open for me who, you know, I wouldn't put anyone in a situation if I didn't think they were going to go well or I didn't think they were good or anything. Even though it's his second gig, I watched a bit of footage from his first, and man, he's going to be great. Dude, it took me like 30 gigs to actually write a good joke. He did a great bit, like one really solid bit in his first ever gig, so he's going to be awesome. So he's opening for my Adelaide show this weekend. You might have seen his videos online. Check out Fairbairn Films. And to organise that. And then I've already said I posted the merch, and then I had other shit to do. Oh yeah, and then I went for a run, which is you got to keep fit, you got to stay healthy. And then I had a chat with Lewis about radio stuff. We talked about just the plans for the future. We're working on a new social media plan for Luke and Lewis. We had a bunch of meetings last week with the heads of the radio station and stuff. So we're really looking forward to getting new people involved in the show. We're hoping, no promises, you know, we're hoping to get an editor involved. So, because you might have noticed the Luke and Lewis videos have stopped coming because we've been so busy with other shit. We don't have time to do that anymore. So the radio station is hopefully going to supply an editor. Again, I'm going to stop now. But you get the idea, Vanessa. That's what I do. You know, which is why, now you get why the podcast is fun for me. Because the rest is boring as fuck. So, that's it. That's my day. So, I don't know. And then, okay, and then do you want to do a week in the life? Alright, I'm just going to go through the main things I'm doing this week. I'm going to Adelaide on Friday. But before that, we've got three radio shows in 2 days, because we've got to pre-record the Friday radio show, because I'm away in Adelaide. So on Thursday, we have to do two radio shows. I have to pack the merch, I have to pack my bags, and I also have a gig Wednesday, Thursday night at the Comics Lounge to get ready for the shows. Then Sunday in Perth, I'm going to the Perth Studios to do the Sunday Fox show from the Perth Studios. Like, we do it via webcam with Lewis, so that will be cool. It's the first time we've ever done that. So yeah, and that's 2 hours, and then literally an hour on stage. An hour later, I'm on stage in Perth doing a sold-out show, which is sick. But, yeah, so I'm just flat out at the moment, and that's, I guess, how I do it all. I don't know how I do it all. I just, Vanessa, you're very kind. I just do it. Just be like Nike, okay, and just do it. I just wake up every day and I write down all the shit I need to do. And I'm like, all right, let's fucking do this. And then I do it. And I hope that might have been boring for some of you. I'm sorry. I hope for some of you who want to achieve your own goals, whether that's creatively, blah, 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 like, you know, in finance, whatever the fuck, if you apply that same amount of work ethic to anything, then hopefully things will start becoming better for you. I'm not saying I've made it, by the way. I'm so far from that. I'm a fucking nobody, right? But all I'm saying is I've dug myself, I feel, into a slight bit of success, where now I can use that bit of success to trampoline up to the next bloody, you know what I mean? The next level of success. Everything is just building, building, building. All right, that's my big inspirational speech. I'm going to quit now. And I just don't like talking about that shit. Anyway, that's what I do, Vanessa. As you can tell, I'm busy, and that's why I don't usually talk about it. And I'm not going to talk about it now for ages, because I've probably just bored the fuck out of everyone. Bachelor in Paradise. Boom. Let's do this. I'm so excited. Okay. I'm sad that it ended, but I think I'm the only one in Australia who's still watching that show by the end. So, if you didn't see it, okay, by the way, my favourite moment from the week before is Jake, King of the Boys. You might remember Jake, who was King of the Boys. He had a thing with Megan going on by the end, and he ended up making the last four couples. And they threw a spanner in the works, because they clearly were running out of ideas and people. So, last week, like, six people just got booted off the show. And then I think, because some people just left. Like, they were just like, I don't want to be here anymore. And they just fucked off back to Australia. And I think the producers were scrambling. So then they got people from the airport and just brought them back into the show. They were like, all right, Florence is back. And Florence and Jake had a bit of an argument before Florence left. And then Jake, on national TV, all right, on national TV, goes, if Florence comes back, I'll kill myself. And then Florence came back, and he didn't do it. What a bitch, okay? Be like Avicii. Okay, no, that was rude. But I meant, you know what I mean? Don't make a big call on national TV, okay? Don't come out there and go, oh, I'll kill myself. No, you won't, because it was likely that Florence was going to come back, because that's juicy TV, okay? But yeah, that was pretty funny, that someone proclaiming that they were going to neck themselves on national TV, then not following through. And then this weekend, So this week, or weekend, I forget when the show was on, there was four couples left. Kira and Thirsty Boy Jared. Ali and American Grant. Just some classic American guy. Like, the most American dude you've ever seen. Like, he was a firefighter. He fucks. You just know he fucks. He probably fucks while he's putting out a fire. He's like, and he's just, like, slamming, like, 10 chicks, like, in a queue for him. Like, that's the type of guy he is, right? He's got, like, an immaculate rig, and like he's hotter than a hot dog, okay? And he's going out with this Ali chick, right? And turns out that she was kidding herself. She's like, I think I'm gonna move to LA. Oh yeah, where you know nobody, just to bloody fuck a firefighter. All right, we got bloody firefighters here, right? How about you go down to the local CFA and see if any of the boys want to bloody root? I'm sure some will put their hand up. All right, you've got double D's, Ali. All right, you. That if you want to do charity work, do it here. All right, we bloody need it in our country. There's enough whores over in America. So Ali was like, "I'm moving to LA." And then at the end of the show, so they were super in love. He almost proposed, and she's like, "I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with you." And he was like, "Cool, babe. I've got 10 chicks back home waiting for me, but whatever." And right, he didn't say that. He was like, "Oh my god, I love you too, baby." And then at the end of like their little bit, it just came up with text on the screen saying, "Ali moved to LA. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Ali is now back in Australia and is going to be the next Australian Bachelorette." That's entertainment, all right? That's the good shit. I knew it wouldn't work out, but that's great that they're like, "Oh yeah, this chick's back. This chick was crazy enough to move to LA, right? To pursue a firefighter who she's known for 3 weeks. She's our next Bachelorette." It's genius. They're geniuses, right? The people who produce this show, my God, my respect goes out to you. It's just what you do. You do God's work every day. And yeah, so she's going to be the new Bachelorette. Sam and Tara, let's talk about that. Best Australian TV I've ever seen. Hands down. Flat out. Complete fact, undeniable, better than Fev at the 2009 Brownlow. I'm calling it, all right? Better than Brennan Favola drunk trying to pressure point Chris Judd's face. That was the best thing I've ever seen on TV, okay? But this, way better, okay? I'm going to spoil it, right? So if you don't want any spoilers, I'm about to spoil it. You've probably already seen it on Facebook, but I'm about to spoil it now. Turn off in 3, 2, 1. Sam proposed. Boom. What a boss move. And you're probably thinking, oh, what the fuck? Look, what? Who would propose after knowing someone for 3 weeks on national TV? That is never going to last. What a dickhead. You don't know love. If you're one of those people, you don't know what love is. I watched every episode. I watched every second of that show. And I'm the biggest, you know me, I will speculate and I will watch from afar, judge, hate. I will hate on things, I will criticize things, but I will never criticize what Sam and Tara have. Okay? What they have is real, alright? And it was like one of those moments, like if someone had have walked in on me, like he got down on one knee and there was emotional music playing in the background. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. Right. I was like, this is the most beautiful moment I've ever seen on Australian television. And he got down on one knee. He's like, "You're incredible. Will you marry me?" And she was like, "Yes." And if anyone had have walked in, I'd just have been like, "No, you're crying. Get out." And anyway, dude, it was better than the time that guy dropped his phone, like, on the Today Show. Remember the time that the guy bought the iPhone? It was the first guy to buy the iPhone, and he dropped his phone on live TV. It was better than the time that the rooster attacks the guy on the Today Show. So many great moments over the years on the Today Show. It was better than when Grant Denyer passed out in that jet. You guys remember that? He was just doing a report, and he went, and just his head rolled back. It was the best thing I've ever seen. So, Tara and Sam, you're bloody legends. My congratulations goes out to you. And fucking keep doing you. Now, this has got to be one of the longest podcasts of all time. So, I'm going to stop the podcast. I talk way too much about my day. And yeah, I told you I had a lot of shit to talk about. Dude, this week I was like, I'm going to do a 45-minute podcast. I'm just going to keep it tight this week. God, I can shit on. Anyway, you know what? It's because it's my break. This is what I like to do. So I'm like, oh, if I end the podcast, now I have to go do more shit. so I just keep talking. Nah, I got to go. You guys have been great. So Adelaide and Perth this weekend. Perth sold out. Thank you guys so much. Obviously, I've talked a bit bloody jerk myself off this week, but it truly means the world that people are willing to come out. It was my dream last year to sell up that room this year, and it happened, so thank you very much. Adelaide, get your ticks. Not sold out yet. I'd love to see you there. There's going to be ticks on the door as well, so come down 7 p.m. at the Rhino Room, all ages. The week later, Newcastle, I'm coming for you. Can't wait to be back. Your town's a bit of a shithole, but the beaches are nice. So bloody get down to that. All right, that's the end of the podcast. Go watch it on YouTube. Do all the shit. See you guys next week.